chapter 5. As we come into Hebrews 5, Paul's talking about Jesus and his office of priesthood, and he's going to deal with him as being with Melchizedek. And I'm not going to study Melchizedek tonight, but Melchizedek was in, you know, met Abraham. He's a picture of Jesus Christ. Some believe he actually is a Christophany. You can deal with that however you want. But he starts to explain Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he's starting to get down deep. You know, he's going past, you know, you're saved and you need to repent and trust in Christ and change your life. And now he's getting some deeper teaching and explaining why, and some symbols and some typology. You know, in modern days, the books that I've gotten for the last 10 to 15 years say, if you're going to grow a large church, do not preach doctrine on Sunday. Isn't that something? What is doctrine? Doctrine is taking the framework of what we believe. It's like when you put up a building, it's the 2x4s and the, you know, 4x6s, whatever, 2x4s and 2x6s and all the trusses and stuff. That's your doctrine that holds everything together. And just think, a church without a framework. Well, you can make it anything you want. And that's pretty much describes the charismatic movement, by the way. It just sort of fits anything that it wraps itself around. So, you know, people can come to church and not feel uncomfortable. Well, that's a different subject. But this passage of Scripture, I think, when we talk about why are we sort of like a fundamentalist church, or, you know, Bible-believing, or whatever term you want to, you know, we're this conservative Baptist church, why are we that? Well, verses 11 through 14 tells us how we can keep ourselves on track to be a good, doctrinally sound church, okay? So Paul I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. He takes a little break here from preaching, and he gives a warning. He gives a shot over the bow to the people already that have been saved for a few years just after Jesus died, and they're already sort of wandering off the page. Look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say. That's Melchizedek and Jesus, okay? So I could tell you a lot more about that. And hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, and be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. Of full age. It's hard to read up here. I'm in a shadow. I'm going to have to come up in the light. After I've had my eye surgery, the only thing about these lenses is when it's a shadow. Now I can read. All right, thank you. I got it right here. That's fine. Thanks. Now I'm better. Excuse me for that. So let's go back to verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is warning the people on why it's hard for them to take heavier doctrine. And he's going to refer to heavy doctrine as meat. But he's going to put another word in front of it. Strong meat. Strong meat. And then he's going to call people that are still over here. They just are sipping on the very first things that they learned in the first weeks after they were saved. And that kind of doctrine and teaching is called milk. So let's go back and say, why do Christians get stuck in a milk stage when they need to be over here on the strong meat stage? He says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and they're hard to be uttered. The first thing that he tells us is there's some things When he says hard to be uttered, it doesn't mean that it's hard to say them, it's hard to explain them. You maybe have heard somebody, or maybe you tried, somebody ask you a question, you say, oh, that question's got a long answer to it. You know, I can't answer that one simply. That one I'm going to have to go back and explain this and this and this and this and this and put this together so that you can understand it. It's not going to be easily uttered. I'm working this year and helping teach geometry. In geometry, you know, you build in proofs, and you got to go, because of this is therefore this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason, therefore. And there are some theorems and some proofs that take like 3 or 4 steps, and you know, they're pretty easy to do. We had one last week that the teacher said, as they were going through it, this one takes an entire page. It has 22 steps in it. And you're going to get lost about in, you know, step number 8, but you're going to have to go back, and I want you to understand, he was just explaining it was going to be a pretty difficult one for them to get. Well, Paul is saying, here are some things that are hard to be uttered. They're hard to be explained. They're in more detail, but look what the problem is. He says, ye, okay, verse 11, ye are dull of hearing. And that idea of being dull of hearing means this: you're sluggish of hearing. That's the, whenever you see that word dull, the easiest, most common thing, you're just sluggish. It could have the idea also of being, you're lazy, slothful, and if you want to be crude, you're just stupid, literally. You should be wise, and you're still very foolish. So he said, I was trying to get it way for us to understand this, and it's like a teacher teaching, and the student is thinking, when I get home, we'll have an ice cream, and they're out in the backyard, there's a pool that's waiting for me, and then Dad said that we're going to go down, and we're going to go shoot at the range, and Mom, we said when we get home, she's making popcorn. So you're trying to teach the student, I don't care whatever it is, but they're sluggish, their mind is over here. And they aren't using the personal discipline to bring their mind in. The Monday after vacation this year, from Thanksgiving, the students came into my classes, and I said, woohoo, yoo-hoo, are you out there? You're sluggish. They go, huh? Yeah. It's about the way they were. I'm not exaggerating. I said, hey, stop. We're not getting anywhere. Now Tuesday they picked up, and Wednesday they were rolling, but they were sluggish. They weren't responding. They were not using their personal discipline. And in this particular case, they're distracted. You're dull of hearing. You're sluggish. You're not responding. And you think about a lot of Christians that come to church, and they're sluggish to respond to the Word of God. The preacher's preaching, and they're just distracted. They're thinking, boy, that dinner in the oven's going to burn. Think, oh, I hope he doesn't go past 12 o'clock. Man, oh, I tell you what, look at that person over there. They got their mind elsewhere. Or maybe they just come in and they just sort of go. Even though they don't do it outwardly, inwardly, that's about, they've gotten sluggish. They're dull of hearing. This is what makes Christians revert to the milk type Christian. They can already be at one point going to being a strong meat person, but they sort of lose something on the inside. They get sluggish in responding, and they just begin to go backwards. A lot of you know I've been working on exercising the last couple years, and an article came several months ago, and it said, how long does it take to lose the muscle and tone out of your arms and your legs and different parts if you exercise every day? Where are you in a week? Where are you in 2 weeks? Where are you in a month? Where are you in 3 months? And it was surprising how much you lose in even just 1 week. How much you lose in 2 weeks. 1 month, you got a long ways to come back even after 1 month of being away from the gym. Spiritually, it's no different. When we have already made, you say, I understand all that, Pastor. You know, I went to even a year of Bible college and I took Bible doctrines. I haven't read my Bible in 3 years, but I had Bible doctrines back there. I know. But you become sluggish and you're starting to revert and go backwards. When I was a student in Bible college, they would tell us it's one of the easiest places to backslide is on Bible college campus. Because somebody else is feeding you. You're not getting it yourself. And you know, a dull of hearing group would maybe be people that don't miss church. They're here on Sundays, or even in Sunday school, but they just, somebody else is chewing it up and dicing it up for them, and they just sort of pick a grape when they want one, you know, eat a little bit of this when they want it. They're become dull of hearing. So let's just sort of get back. He said there's some things hard to be uttered. They're very difficult to explain to them, but you've lost your attention. You've lost your focus. You lost your sharpness, is what he's saying. So it sets you up. Be careful. Look at verse 12. For the time ye ought to be the teachers. You know, Christians, in your life, if you're progressing, you ought to be moving up the chain. I mean, you should. We expect it. In our Christian school, a kid checks in kindergarten. 13 years later, he better not still be in kindergarten. That's very unnatural. In your Christian life, there ought to be a time where you become the teacher, the discipler, the explainer. The one that's got it all together. You ought to be progressing. And it starts, you know, in our church, you know, one of the things that Pastor Bud's, we're always trying to stretch you and pull you into different things. That's because we're trying to get you to take the next level. And I tell you what, if you become a Sunday school teacher learns a lot more than their students ever do. I've been teaching math. I'm going to switch gears here. I've been teaching math in our Christian school. My math had gotten quite rusty, but I tell you what, I can't be teaching it and explaining and helping with homework if I don't understand it pretty well. And that's the way it is in your life. You ought to be moving up and you're taking on new tacks and you're fifth grade, eighth grade spiritual, you're in graduate school, and now they're asking you to be, you know, the teacher of the men's class. A deacon in the church. You're supposed to be holding the ladies' Bible study and you're the speaker. This new Christian just got saved and they say, would you disciple this person? Teenagers, that's true of you. There ought to come a point where Pastor Stephen should be able to say to an older teenager, here, would you take this young man or take this young lady under and show them the ropes on how to have devotions and how to get to church and how to start praying? And I mean, you ought to be the teacher. And so he goes on in this verse and he says, for the time is when you should be the teacher, you ought to be the teacher, you have need that one, I'm going to add a word, still teaching you. Have you ever heard people say, I'm leaving a church because I don't get fed? You know what? That's really an indictment of their own personal devotions. I'm not going to dispute with you at all that Pastor Butts and different ones ought to be feeding well. That ought to be true. We all say amen to that. But there comes a point when you're walking into a good church that you ought to be so focused that you're coming to feed others. And it's really an indictment of people when they're chasing churches just to be fed. You think about it. They should be involved. Let me ask you a question. This group here, I'm really not trying to get after you, I'm trying to preach the principle here tonight. You ought to be progressing. You ought to be teaching. You ought to be getting involved. You ought to be, from 1 or 2 years ago, you ought to have moved up to the next grade. But the problem is, when you ought to be teachers, you're still wanting the same thing you got when you were back there in kindergarten. Now, here I'm at 65, and you know, I was thinking a lot the last few weeks about my mama. You know what? I still like to be with my mama. When I was a boy, there was a little period of time when our house burnt and all the rest. And for whatever reason, I still, at about 6 years old, was sleeping in bed with my mom. I loved to cuddle up right next to her, that secure feeling. You know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't you like to just cuddle up and just love it, hugging on your mama? And my mama, she wasn't living as the Lord like she should, but we used to sing songs. We would sing Amazing Grace and all the songs, and we just sing, and we just love on Jesus together. I would love to live there in the past. But you know what? I'm a lot older than 70. And even though that's comfortable, I'm a pastor now, and a father, and a grandfather. If we keep going very long, I'll be a great-grandfather. It's time for me to grow up. Can I say to you, this is what's happening in churches. People are getting into a comfort zone of milk. Just keep bringing the milk on. You slice it, you dice it, we'll suck it in. And it ought to be different. It ought to be different. So he goes on, he says, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles could literally be translated the first fundamentals. That's literally one of the definitions of first principles. It's one of the first rudiments or the first principles of the oracles of God. I remember the first time I saw the word oracles. What's that? The very principles of the teaching of the revealed word of God. We should not have to go, this group here, we shouldn't have to spend 7 messages on how to tie. Shouldn't be 7 messages and we ought to be soul winners. We all believe that? We ought to be, as Paul is saying here, there's a whole bunch more I can give you, but you're over here, you just like the milk. That's your comfort. Go on, please. He says, and you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Why would they need milk? Because they're not even doing what the milk is supposed to be doing. Christians, we begin to grow not when we know the Word of God, but when we begin to obey the Word of God and practice it. Look in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that idea, everyone, he's unskillful, it means he's not practiced. If I went over here to the piano and tried to play Amazing Grace for you, you would see that I am unskillful. I haven't practiced. Now, I will confess that my wife tried to teach me piano lessons when we first got married. And after about 3 lessons, we both agreed that we both had our calling and that mine would go one direction and hers would go the other. I can play with one hand, one song at Calvary. That's it. I can play the chords. I can do that one song. I play it all the time. I'm really practiced in one song. But that's sort of like a lot of Christians are real practiced like that. They say, I can play the piano. But they really can't play the piano. The only way to learn to play the piano is to practice. Mrs. Butts, my wife said amen in church. She hardly ever does, but she said amen tonight. You are not going to be able to really grow in the Word of God unless you practice. That means daily devotions, doesn't it? That means when God puts his finger on something, you change it. That means memorizing the Word of God. We could go on, couldn't we? He said, the reason why you're still back here, unable to, you have a need of milk when you should be in the strong meat and teaching others. Go on, please. Look at verse 13, and so because of that, you are a babe. And that idea of babe, a baby, we say there, is a person that's still of age, it's not even speaking. That's why you call them a baby. Mwah. Woo! They can't communicate. It also, this word is translated, they're simple-minded, they're immature, they're childish. Instead of strong, confident, conviction-built Christians, they're still going, wah! They're babies. Milk! Milk! Oh, that message, it was just too deep. I want milk! Give me the words of the milk! And that's what this group needs. They can't survive because they haven't progressed like they should. Look at verse 14. But strong meat, and that idea of strong meat is not just regular meat. This is good, healthy, you know, deep doctrine. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That word full age is the same word Jesus cried on the cross, telestai. And it means completed. This is somebody that's mature. Strong meat belongs to those that are growing up. And the reason why people are not crying for strong meat, they're crying for milk, is because they have not grown up. They're a little bit like Peter Pan. I won't grow up. I won't grow up. I don't want to go to school. I like being over here and playing, no responsibilities. But that's not what Christianity is all about. It's getting saved and going out here and being a good soldier for Christ. And when we are not following this, we set ourselves up for any charlatan to come along with milk type things and sway whole churches away from being a Bible-based church. What can I do to keep Westside Baptist Church and any church that I'm involved in? You can get home and study your Bible and practice it. The best thing you can do. Have daily devotions. Respond. When the message talks to your heart, respond to it. Change your life. Grow. Ask questions. He goes on, he says this. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's so much in there. That idea of exercising is the idea of this person has practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. They've exercised themselves by reason because they have used the things that have been given to them until they become so practiced with them that it's no big deal for them to then make discerning decisions of what is good and what is evil. That word good is in the Greek. I don't want to get too technical here, but the word good and the word evil are the exact same word in the Greek except for one letter. One is K-A-K-O-S, the other one is K-A-L-O-S. One means in the idea of that it has great value, it's beautiful, it's kalos. And kakos means it's worthless. One letter. And the only difference between that letter, the L and the K, is one little stroke. So that this person is so practiced that he looks over here, he says, oh, that's kalos, that's kakos. I can give illustration after illustration of people that have ability to look at something and say, that won't work because they're too good at it. Some of you are professionals in your field, and there are people, you just start to talk and they say, won't work. Bam, they diagnose it just like that. They're so practiced in it. It's a scheme. That won't work. That isn't right. We first started our church, I went to pick up some 2x4s. I had never picked up 2x4s in my life to build a wall. Brought them back, I was so proud, I had the whole back of the van loaded up with 2x4s. Christine Mossman's father looked at them and he said, were they out of good stuff? I said, what are you talking about? He said, they're ridiculous. I can't build a wall with these. He picked up the first 2x4. I said, it's a 2x4. It's what you asked. He said, look. He held it all lengthways. He said, look down the edge of that thing with your eyeball. Well, now I could see that he pointed out. He went, like that. He said, how do you make a wall? Then he held another one. He said, what's in the middle? Had a great big old knot hole right in the middle. Maybe that much wood that would be left. He said, that wall's gonna... And he went through and picked. He said, take them back. Okay, we took them back and we went there and he helped me pick them out. And I tell you what, just from that simple lesson, I learned how to pick out 2x4. My grandfather was a master carpenter. He could, and I've heard many people tell the story, he could go over here and see a hole that needed something to be put in it, walk over here with his eye, make a cut, and it fit within a quarter of an inch, with an eighth of an inch. The practiced eye. That's what leads to discernment. That's what helps us when we're trying to understand strong meat. That's what will help us to see that charismatic movement has got a lot of evil in it. But this over here may not look like a Cadillac, but it is truly beautiful in Jesus. So let me just give you some thoughts as we end this, okay? What do we do then? I want to be a Christian that's discerning. I want to have strong meat. I want to be growing. I want to always make sure that I'm in a place supporting good doctrine. How do I get to this point? I give you 5 steps. Number one, focus. When you focus, I go back to the students in school. They come into class and sit down. They have to make up their mind every time they sit in class. I'm in class. Forget everything else for the next 45 minutes. It's an inner decision. Can the teacher make it for me? Oh, I tell you what, you wish you could. Can a pastor make this decision for their people? So you have to make up your mind that this is going to be your central focus, is growing and understanding the Word of God and keeping that regularly. Number two is the word use. You've got to practice. One of the big questions when you're young in your Christian life, do you have to have devotions every day? Well, I would say we're pretty much would say yes. That ought to be what our goal ought to really be. So focus and use. Number three, mature. We looked at that word that this person is growing up. Listen, it's time to quit being a baby Christian. It's time to grow up. And sometimes you just got to make up your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, leaving those things which are behind. When you become a man, you put away childish things. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to get involved for the Lord. I'm tired of first grade. It's time for me to get in second grade. Okay. Number four, you've got to be willing to discern. I didn't get into this as much as I wanted in that last verse. The word discern means to judge through a situation. That's literally what it means. Judging through to see the truth. You can't just stand back like you don't know anymore. When you know, you need to step up and discern and quit making excuses for yourself. Once we know better, we need to live better. You know, it's really easy just to go, I didn't know. You see students sometimes, I didn't know. Yes, they did. They just didn't want to make waves. You got to be willing to stand up and discern. Make a difference around you. And the last step, you need to hold on to that which is, I put the word koloss. You got to be willing to seek the beautiful, the good, and the healthy, and let go of the bad. This is the step of how you grow out of being a baby to becoming a strong meat soldier for Christ. You focus, you use, you practice, you mature, you make up that, you're going to grow up, move on, you're going to judge through, you're going to use discernment, and then you're going to hang on to that which is beautiful. Not let it go. Fight for it. And that's what makes a church a fundamental, Bible-believing, strong meat group of people.